Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Thanks for being with us. A lot of people, even if they never watch late night television, were at least curious in what Jimmy Kimmel had to say on his show last night. Though a lot of people were unable to get it through the normal channels. With the details, we start with CBS's Michael George.
Jimmy Kimmel was back on the air just hours ago, returning to his namesake late-night TV show after Disney suspended the comedian last week. During his monologue, Kimmel said there's nothing funny about the murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk and that he did not intend to blame any groups for the shooting. Kimmel also claimed efforts to cancel his show over his beliefs are un-American. CBS News' Jared Hill joins us now with more on this. President Trump is already threatening ABC for putting Kimmel back on TV.
Yeah, Michael, so without showing evidence, President Trump yesterday posted on social media that ABC told the White House Jimmy Kimmel Live was canceled. He also threatened legal action, accusing the show of being illegally partisan. In his return, Kimmel didn't hold back criticism of the Trump administration, but he did offer clarity on his comments about the killing of Charlie Kirk.
At times, emotional.
It was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man.
Jimmy Kimmel made his return to late night with a passionate defense of free speech.
I want to thank the people who don't support my show and what I believe, but support my right to share those beliefs anyway.
Last week, ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel Live following criticism from FCC Chairman Brendan Carr and TV station ownership companies Sinclair and Nexstar over Kimmel's comments about the man charged with killing conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Announcing Kimmel's return, ABC called the jokes ill-timed and insensitive. Just an hour before last night's broadcast, President Trump, in a scathing post on social media, said the show had bad ratings, accused the host of being an arm of the Democratic Party, and appeared to threaten to sue ABC again, alluding to a defamation suit he settled with the network last year.
The President of the United States made it very clear he wants to see me and the hundreds of people who work here fired from our jobs. Our leader celebrates Americans losing their livelihoods because he can't take a joke.
Charlie Kirk's supporters expressed disappointment over Disney's decision.
I can't believe they're letting him back on the air.
People in the audience called the atmosphere electric.
I felt like he spoke from the heart, he was honest, and he said what we were all thinking.
But millions couldn't see the show, with Nexstar and Sinclair preempting Jimmy Kimmel Live, blocking it from nearly a quarter of American households.
No word this morning on when Sinclair or Nexstar might bring Kimmel back to their ABC stations. Nexstar did say in a statement that would depend on, quote, assurance that all parties are committed to fostering an environment of respectful, constructive dialogue.
CBS is Jared Hill. So we'll see where it goes from here. One of the takeaways is president threatening to sue, quote, illegally partisan. But a lot of shows, including many newscasts on network television and cable news, are partisan. Either way, not just one way or another. Meanwhile, this story, Paul, about the remains of four infants found about 40 miles north of Pittsburgh in that home, and the mother being formally charged just takes your breath away.
Makes me wonder, Larry, what circumstances this person was living under that she felt that she had to do that, that that was the way to go, to give birth to four infants and allow them to slowly slip away without any care after they were born.
And then keep them in tote bags.
Yeah. Well, obviously she was concealing it. So, you know, That's what I'm curious. And why would she do this four times is the question at hand. There's got to be a story behind that. I don't know what it is. I'd like to understand more.
Yeah, KDK TV's Jennifer Barrasso spoke to the landlord, and it was really when they went in to do some cleanup work that they discovered this. Otherwise, it might have continued undiscovered. So we'll get details on that. Other news in the city, in terms of importance, we have Rich Fitzgerald coming on in the next hour. And in part, we're going to try to sort through what is the policy for the vaccines. We're going to talk to the health secretary of the state, formerly of Allegheny County, Dr. Deborah Bogan.
If I understand it right, the state has released its own guidelines that are different, I guess is the word to use.
Yeah, so we'll sort through that. I'm looking forward to the conversation with Dr. Bogan on the statewide policies on vaccines. I think, to say the least, there's just a lot of confusion for families about what to do. You know, it's almost like paralysis by analysis. The more you hear about this and that, and there's pause and cause for concern for a lot of parents what to do.
Yeah, I think that for Dr. Bogan, too, another issue is increasing cases of children with the communicable diseases who have not been vaccinated. Measles would be one example. Now, I don't know that we've had serious outbreaks in Pennsylvania like they've had in Texas that were reported over the summer months, but I'm sure that's part of this mix. I'm sure that there's some directives in the state's recommendation along those lines.
And we'll find out coming up in our next hour.
I was wondering if I was going to be able to enunciate that one correctly.
On National Pronunciation Day.
No, it's Punctuation Day, Larry.
Same difference.
I hope people are watching the stream. That was hilarious.
National Punctuation Day.
Punctuation, how I love you.
Who would come up with that? Come on, man. These people.
Right. I mean, honestly.
It's World Gorilla Day, too.
Well, you know, I'm sure an English major somewhere is very happy about Punctuation Day.
How about this from AAA? A new study shows that 96% of American drivers admit to having a bout of road rage sometime over the past calendar year, including speeding, tailgating, cutting off other vehicles, swearing out loud, giving gestures with your hands.
Oh, this is the drivers themselves, not what they're reacting to.
Right. And
they
think it's contagious because the study found that the more drivers are exposed to it, the more likely they are to drive like that themselves. 96%.
96%.
Have you ever gotten a little heated driving?
You know, I used to get really, really angry behind the wheel. I'll be honest about that. Some people would enrage me with the stuff. Usually it's when I would be startled or scared by something somebody does. But these days, I'm constantly checking the rearview mirror and watching other drivers, and I've just come to expect the worst from others, and I try to be courteous and calm, and it's working for me. It's been months since I've been upset behind the wheel.
Well, you know who gave us really good tools? Dr. Christian Conte.
Exactly, and it dates back to that chat, in fact.
Don't take it personal. They don't know who you are.
You know, one thing that works for me, Larry, is I ask the question, you know, well, maybe this person is having a bad day, or maybe there is an emergency, or...
Is it worth, though, confronting...
No.
Because we've seen the results of some of that. And here's our kind and genteel Aaron. Have you ever gotten angry driving a car?
Absolutely. I think in the early years, after college, when I remember I graduated, got my own car, and my mom... Or I was actually driving my grandma around and she snitched on me. She was telling my mom, Aaron is having crazy bouts of road rage.
Wow, this is revolutionary.
Yeah, and she was concerned.
How is this manifesting itself?
Grandma snitched on you.
Yeah, she did.
What did grandma say that you were doing?
Erin's like, a mad woman.
Really kind of like screaming at the windshield a little bit. I know this sounds crazy.
No, I get it. Or, I mean, it can happen to any of us.
Yes. Yeah. Or like slapping your hand on the steering wheel, like from impatience. And I think I have realized, and it's actually sometimes we can, I'm sure the three of us, when you're driving to work in the morning and there's no cars on the road, basically.
And I have to say, that's one of the reasons why I
exactly.
do better. Yep. You know, because I don't have to put up with what our listeners are going through right now on the parkways, right?
God bless you for that.
Yes.
Anybody in a traffic jam right now?
Needless to say, I think I'm on the other side.
No. 96% of people admitted in the last calendar year of having their own bout of road rage.
Yep.
All right. Completely different. Feeding your babies blueberries, besides the potential of it turning your kitchen purple and otherwise, scientists at the University of Colorado found that babies who were fed pureed blueberries got over their allergies and were less likely to get sick as they got older.
Cool.
The researchers didn't find any drawbacks except the obvious in the, fortunately now they have throwaway diapers. But remember, puree those, mom, dad, because you can't feed babies, obviously, blueberries in their natural state.
Wait.
You know, I have blueberries almost every day here at the office.
Well, that would explain why you're so calm and cool and healthy.
Right.
No, I just found out that I like them a lot and you know, the health benefits. Wow.
Oh, I tried. I was sampling. Kohler beer is back, right? This dates to the late 1800s. Now, they brew it in Elwood City.
How's it spelled?
K-O-E-H-L-E-R.
Okay.
It's a German name, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Brewmasters from the late 1800s. And they have different, you know, different, so many different beers now. IPAs, this, that. But they have a blueberry beer.
Wow.
And I thought, I'm not going to like that. And I had a sample. I'm like, I like that a lot.
Now, was it tart? At all?
It was just perfect.
Mm.
Wasn't too sweet or sour. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They got it right.
But they balanced the flavor of blueberry in beer.
Yes.
That's not an easy thing to do, I would think.
No. So hats off to Kohler. How about this? You think there's a sophisticated syndicate behind a cyber attack that cost Vegas casinos $100 million in 1 year. They have now arrested a teenage boy. He is the suspect. The child hacker hasn't been identified, I guess because he's underage. But they think he's the one who cracked into Caesars and MGM Resorts, crippling their systems and exposing tons of customer data that cost the casinos a collective $100 million.
I remember the story. I remember how they had to go to writing stuff down on paper for reservations for rooms and the like.
Apparently, it was this kid that did it.
It's like the old movie War Games with Matthew Broderick. Remember that one?
Parents should have gave him more blueberries.
The teenage hacker?
Oh, yeah. That was the start of it all.
Wow.
He almost started a worldwide war on this, you know, movie set. Because he hacked into their defense systems, right?
Yeah.
What in
basically.
The? Basically. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, he thought he was playing a game that he had accessed when he didn't realize
that. He
didn't
know he was really doing it.
The game he was interacting with was a game that was also in that computer.
Oh.
The National Defense computer, yep.
Wow.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to Terrifying Times.
Actually, it's a very good movie.
This is the Big K Morning Show, Through the Fog. Take your time getting to where you got to go this morning. Some of it's pretty thick. It is also, we just passed through peak allergy season for, I guess, the change of seasons with the dry weather, but mid-September is usually when it peaks. And air issues, you hear this all the time about air quality, and we're honored to be joined by Dr. Deborah Gentile, who's a specialist in this area. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing today?
I'm good. So a little rain helps kind of cleans the air, so to speak, does it not?
Absolutely. We're just toward the tail end here of ragweed season. It usually starts mid-August, peaks around Labor Day, and then it'll start to dwindle now until the first frost. and rain absolutely helps wash it out of the air.
And we went through this long dry period, pretty unusual for us. In fact, the second longest dry period in recorded local history. So that was substantial. That kind of adds to it because I noticed there were a lot of dust in the air.
Yeah, there can be a lot of dust. Interestingly, when we go through dry spells, we tend to see less mold in the air, less mold spores, though.
Oh, that's
right.
So
the dust can be an irritant, and then obviously with the dry spells, you're going to see your pollen levels. But, you know, when the moisture levels are lower, we're going to see less mold, too, which can be an allergen.
Also want to talk to you because we have heard so many times about air quality, especially when we talk about some of the valleys that still have manufacturing going on. And there are some recent updates on that. So what is the latest on the air quality in the region?
Yeah, overall, we think that in the Mon Valley, since the settlement from that Clarendon Coke Works fire several years ago, it looks like we're really on track down there to be meeting air quality standards for 2025. You recall they did have an event in August where there was a an explosion down there, and they've had several other minor events this year. I shouldn't even call them minor. There was an explosion in February, and then in June there was a period where pollution control equipment was offline. But despite these things, we are seeing significant improvements down there, and we think it's because several of the batteries were closed as part of that settlement. More recently, last week, the Allegheny County Health Department gave us an update from the monitoring results from those mobile units related to the fire, and they saw no elevations in PM2, which is fine particulate pollution, or sulfur dioxide. They did see fence line monitoring some substances that are toxins, such as formaldehyde, benzene, and xylene. But overall, those were brief elevations that came down, to undetectable levels pretty quickly.
And I would imagine with the amount of money coming for infrastructure build-out that part of that plan is to continue to make progress when it comes to cleaning the air. Have you heard this?
Hopefully that will happen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are very concerned, given the three events occurred this year. Again, they had an explosion back in February. They had a period in June where pollution control equipment was knocked offline, and now this explosion. We really lucked out with this explosion. The air conditions outside were just right so that the plume from this, went right up straight into the air and dissipated from there and didn't affect the population overall. So there's concern that there's been some, long-term neglect at that facility. And the hope is that there will be an infusion of funding to help revitalize things to prevent these type of actions from happening.
All right, back to Ragweed for a sec, Doc. What do you do when someone has an issue? What's the prescribed, treatment?
Yeah, the first thing to do is, you want to try your over-the-counter medications. You can try an antihistamine. That would be something like Zyrtec, Claritin, or Allegra. We tend to like those over Benadryl because they last longer. They last, 24 hours versus 4 to 6. If that's not working, you can actually get the nasal sprays, the steroid nasal sprays over-the-counter now. People have to be careful, though. Those need to be used every day for about a week before you start to see a benefit. They're not a once-and-done thing. You won't see an immediate benefit. So it's useful to, be paying attention to what time of the year it is and if it's time to start that medication prophylactically or ahead of time.
If those aren't working, you definitely want to reach out and talk to your healthcare provider for other opportunities to treat the problem.
Dr. Deborah Gentile, an allergist and immunologist. Great information, Doc. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. So learn something here, Aaron. That is the fact that when it's dry like it was for those 2 weeks plus, and it makes sense, there's not as much mold because the moisture's not there where the mold is generated. I didn't think of it that way.
I didn't think about it that way, and mold freaks me out as it does so many other people. But what I was in here mind blown about is the fact that my throat was swollen for weeks. And I was like, what is going on?
Ragweed.
Yeah. And one thing I know for sure I'm allergic to, have been told since I was little, pollen. So naturally, and I would take an allergy pill and it would do the trick-ish enough for me to know, okay, this is allergies. But it's just hilarious that it took me weeks to be like, you know, I'm kind of struggling to swallow.
Something's up. Yeah. Well, it was peak season, or the peak week, I should say.
Right.
Last week. All right, coming up, we're going to take a look at the AccuWeather forecast. Actually, look into the weekend. I think you're going to be happy, speaking of.
So ABC solves its Jimmy Kimmel problem by returning him to air after some discussions with the host for his controversial comments. So what does Disney, Larry, do to follow up that act?
Starting October 21st, the ad-supported Disney Plus plan will jump $2 to $11.99 a month. The ad-free version is increasing by $3 to $18.99 a month.
But wait, there's more. Fees for bundled plans with Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN are also going up.
Wow. Coincidental? Who knows, but it seems pretty curious that they would do this while the attention is on one show and Jimmy Kimmel kind of sliding this in, because a lot of people had at least said they were going to cancel their subscriptions, and some did. I don't know what the number is, but they...
You know, I mean, imagine what the reaction might be to somebody who's been dealing with this Kimmel thing and just wishes it would go away, and then they get the bill and it's increased. It's like,
Well... there'll be another opportunity to say, I'm good.
Yep. Oh, at the UN.
And I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter, because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you, nevertheless. And that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble.
Can you imagine? He wasn't joking.
And that was the start of the get-together with the General Assembly, Larry.
Fortunately for Donald Trump, he's pretty used to extemporaneous talk, so he was able to go on without the prompter. But can you imagine somebody who had very buttoned-up speech to the world, basically, and the prompter goes out, not to mention the escalator stopped when he and Milani got on it.
Yeah, so there you go. Their day at the UN was anything less than smooth, I guess.
No.
Pirates rookie Hunter Barco talked last night about making his major league debut.
Yeah, I mean, when I stepped out of the bullpen, I looked around. Like, I don't know if I stopped or if I took a couple steps walking, but I looked around and I'm like, whoa, all right, we're here. So jogged out to the mound, and first pitch, I didn't really know where it was going to go. I kind of blacked out, but just threw it. And after that, it was like, all right, it's go time playing baseball.
Yeah, they ended up beating the Reds. They won three in a row, and they interviewed his parents after, who were there.
Yeah, the whole family was there, apparently.
Yeah.
Which is, that's such a big deal.
Yeah, so remember the name Hunter Barco, because yep. I think you're going to hear a lot from him in the future. Thank you, Paul. And by the way, Pens play tonight. They've got the preseason game,
too. Oh, Columbus, right, yeah.
But then the game that everybody's... Yeah, you know, for preseason hockey.
That's on Saturday, right?
Yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury is going to play a period in goal, and he's going to retire as a Pittsburgh Penguin. And I'm pretty excited for the fan base that'll be going there. That's gonna be a moment. And he loves this city, and Penguins fans love him.
You got that right.
Ah, yes. A lot of Pittsburghers leaving today for Dublin. And Two of us are sitting right here. Rich Fitzgerald joins us every Wednesday at our 7 o'clock hour, the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Rich, I was just talking about having Jim Rooney on. Obviously, Art Rooney, the second's brother, his father, the late ambassador to Ireland. And really, at that time, Jim was his right-hand man. And he said, in all the Super Bowls and everything the Steelers have done, the ticket demand for this game, for him, people asking him, hey, Jim, can you hook me up with some tickets? It's never been greater. So,
well, NFL games have a sameness to them week after week after week. I mean, you have a big game when we play the Ravens or something like that. But this is just different. This is different in so many ways. Obviously, the first NFL regular season game ever played in Ireland. The Steelers and the Rooney family connected. You read a little bit about, you know, the Rooneys came here in the 1840s. And the one statistic that jumps out at me is that 400,000 people in this region can trace their ancestry to Ireland. One in six people in this region have some connection. It might be back a century. It might be back a couple of decades. But there's an interest. Whether you're going or whether you're going to wake up early Sunday morning to – you know, we're not used to watching an NFL game at 9:30 in the morning, but I think a lot of people will be.
They'll adapt. I already talked to guys that are going to some kind of breakfast.
Kegs and eggs, as they say.
Eggs. And one group said they have a tradition, and so it really fits in, where they get together once a year on a Sunday, and they wear kilts and watch a Steeler game.
There you go. Black and gold kilts. I'm sure they'll be selling those as well.
Doesn't your son have a place in
he does, and they got the green beer going for the game in the morning. And being an Irish pub, they're kind of used to that because they start early for the soccer games.
Right.
And there's different soccer clubs that come in and they're used to getting their eggs and their beer. The one thing I don't know if people realize this. I never realized this. You can serve alcoholic beverages on a Saturday at 7 in the morning, but you can't on a Sunday until 9 in the morning. So you're safe with a 9:30 game, but the pregame festivities might be impeded.
And I believe it or not, in Dublin, it's noon on Sunday.
You're kidding. I did not know that.
So that'll be interesting just to go through this experience. But you've been to Ireland before.
I have. I've been to Dublin. You know, we had tried a number of years ago, and I think they're still trying at the airport to get a direct flight. There's obviously a number of charter flights that are going with different groups for this game that were set up. But it's a beautiful, beautiful country. And you know, to see some of the older sites, you know, in America, you know, we get excited. You see a church that's 200 years old, and rightly so. You go over to Ireland, and there's a church that's 500 years old or 800 years old that's still standing.
There's a pub in Ireland, in Dublin, called the Brazen Head that has been a bar basically since the 1100s, to give you some idea of the history there. And bigger than all of that, it does give us another worldwide opportunity to showcase Pittsburgh, even though it's in Ireland.
Exactly. And there's a huge amount of economic impact. And certainly we get excited about the game. Are they going to win? Are they going to get the running game going, et cetera, et cetera? But, you know, there are, you know, over 400 companies, Irish companies that are located in Pennsylvania, creating, you know, having over 17,000 workers at those locations, and companies like UPMC, BNY, Federated Hermes have operations in Ireland, and I'm sure they'll be sending folks there in a delegation. But there's other companies like Eaton Company, Accenture, Mackin Consulting, etc., that have operations in both places. So there's a big economic impact that happens as well. And the Steelers and the Rooney family having the exclusive rights, the NFL exclusive rights to market in Ireland, that's just one more economic opportunity for this region.
They already opened a store there, the Steelers store. I got a text earlier. Hey, Larry, do you know when the Steelers store opens in Dublin? No, I don't, but I'll find out. That said, It continues to bring us a spotlight on the region.
Yes.
For many reasons. So you would say what? Hundreds of companies have some tie to Ireland in this region.
When we did the trip a number of years ago, when I was county executive, it was very easy for us to gather people. The Rooneys, again, they hosted an event for us at the ambassador. Dan was not the ambassador at that time, but he had been previous ambassador and helped us connect to some of the folks that we were trying to market to. So yes, there's already relationships that exist. This is just going to continue to strengthen them.
Yeah, at our 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Jim Lamb, who is the honorary consul.
Jim will be going and be taking
he's
a
there
group
now.
Of, oh, he's already there. Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to check in with him in Ireland today. And I think of the ambassador who is, I'm not a big shot, you know, very humble, but the ambassador's home in Ireland is a big spread, isn't it?
Oh, it's very nice, and it's absolutely beautiful. And again, the fact that Dan Rooney was the ambassador to Ireland for a 4-year period. And in a true Pittsburgh fashion, he's known to have visited every single county.
Which he was the first ambassador from the U.S. ever to do that.
Exactly, exactly. The work ethic that he took as a Pittsburgher into the ambassador's residence, just again, a great example of what we in Western Pennsylvania are all about. And I'm sure their roots to County Down in Newry, where the Rooneys come from the 1840s, will also be celebrating as well.
It'll be an exciting weekend whether you're there or here. Do you see Myron Cope's terrible towel there, the green one?
I noticed a green towel. So are the uniforms going to have a little green on them? I guess we'll find out on Sunday when they come through the tunnel.
That's a great question. Yeah. All right. Speaking of great questions, a lot of questions about vaccines and in this state. So we're going to talk to... And you actually hired Dr. Deborah Bogan in Allegheny County. She's now, for those that don't know, leading that for the entire state.
Yes, and just this week, Secretary Bogan now, Dr. Bogan, who Governor Shapiro appointed as his Secretary of Health, the governor and the secretary came out with some recommendations with vaccines. And you, Dr. Bogan, obviously being no secret or no stranger to us here in Pittsburgh, having led us through the pandemic, is the great story that she literally took over the operation of the Department of Health as the pandemic was hitting.
Yeah.
Actually, she had to start a couple months early because I remember.
All right. We'll talk to her maskless coming up next, because yes. Every time we saw her for that first year.
No one ever saw her face.
Right, no one ever. We continue our conversation. Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. In your 12 years leading Allegheny County, couldn't have been a more challenging time overall than when the pandemic hit.
Yeah, there's no question. And some of the projects that were underway, the one we're going to be dealing with the next month, the airport, had got delayed because, you know, COVID shut everything down during 2020. And we in Allegheny County were so fortunate that at that time, we were hiring a brand new health department director.
Wow.
Who probably looks at me and says, why did you do that to me, Rich? And we brought her in, and she did such a great job, no stranger to us in Western Pennsylvania, Dr. Deborah Bogan, that Governor Shapiro, when he got elected, decided she's the best person to lead the Department of Health at the state. All the work she did just here in Allegheny County and the region, so many regional outside of Allegheny was listening to her advice every week. So we are delighted to welcome back to KDKA and Western Pennsylvania, Dr. Deborah Bogan. Doctor, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here with you guys. I remember last time I was there, I think I was getting a flu vaccine with you all.
Actually, we were just talking about that, Doc. That's the last time I saw you. Good to have you back with us, and congrats on, you know, your elevation to the Secretary of Health of the state of Pennsylvania. That said, speaking of vaccines, a lot of gray areas right now for a lot of people, and there's a lot of confusion. So you've decided to come out with a statewide policy, correct?
Yeah, a guidance document, yes.
And so give us the...
What are the new guidance in the state? Yeah, you and the governor the other day came out with this, the statement, the guidance. And number one, what is the new guidance or the guidance for the Commonwealth? And why did you think you had to do it at this time?
So great. I'm very excited to be here to share this. So, you know, the Shapiro administration and the Department of Health, we really just want to make sure that people have access to evidence-based, science-based vaccine guidance. And there's a lot of noise out there right now, and it's very confusing for people. So we thought it would be helpful and important for people to know where to turn to for good vaccine advice. And there are, our guidance really lists three organizations that we feel that Pennsylvanians should follow around vaccine guidance. They are the American Academy of Pediatrics for Vaccines for Children. That organization has been putting out vaccine guidance for almost 100 years now and has always up to date with the information that they provide based on published and scientific data. The American Academy of Family Physicians, as well as the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and that last one specifically around pregnancy and breastfeeding and their recommendations for vaccines. You know, you all know it's really important to stay up with vaccinations. They protect us from really serious infections and diseases. They protect individuals as well as communities, and we wanted to make sure that people had good access to good information.
You know, Doctor, over the course of the last couple of weeks, in particular for me here on the morning show, a lot of questions about vaccines on a lot of different levels. So what I was told the best advice to pass on to others is seek the advice of your trusted family physician or a doctor that you know to kind of give you the guidance, because there's a lot of anxiety about it. But to be clear, you're recommending people get flu shots for this season, correct?
Correct. We recommend the flu vaccine every year for people. Flu, people think it is a very common illness, and unfortunately, it makes many people very ill. It results in many, many hospitalizations and many deaths in our country. And it's important for both children and adults, and particularly older adults. And it is widely available. So yes, we totally always recommend the flu vaccine for everyone.
And Dr. Bogan, Secretary Bogan, in general, why is it important for people to stay updated with vaccines? And then talk about why is this especially important for children?
Yeah, you know, let me give you my perspective as a pediatrician. So, you know, I can speak from my experience over 30 years of pediatric practice. Some vaccines had already been introduced prior to me starting my career. And when I rarely saw the diseases as a pediatrician for the ones that had been introduced before I was a pediatrician. And then when I became a pediatrician, over early in my career, we had a number of vaccines introduced into the vaccine schedule, the pneumococcal vaccine, the Haemophilus influenza type B vaccine. Those two vaccines changed how we practiced pediatrics because they eliminated the main causes of bacterial meningitis in children. And they are incredibly effective. And most physicians training today rarely see those infections. So we have seen...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I personally have seen the benefits of these vaccines. And so it's really important. We introduce vaccines and the vaccines are developed in response to infections that harm people and that lead to hospitalizations and deaths. And I think it's hard for people to understand that because they're not seeing the infections that we are preventing because vaccines are doing such an amazing job. They don't see the infection, so they don't recognize the risks of not having the vaccines. So vaccines have saved millions and millions and millions of lives. I have personally seen how it changed and improved health of our children. And so they're extremely important for children, but they're also important for adults. I'll give you the example, RSV, which only recently do we have a vaccine for RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. It affects little tiny babies pretty badly, young children, and older adults. And the introduction of the vaccine has reduced hospitalizations and deaths from RSV. So important, we continue to evolve, and vaccines really demonstrate amazing power of science and innovation in how we've changed our world. So to be clear, vaccines save lives, they reduce serious infections, they reduce hospitalizations, and they reduce the spread of these among our communities.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bogan. And let me just say this. 5 years ago, we turned to you to trust with all the confusion that was coming around with this new virus, COVID-19. And now, again, we're turning to you because you are a voice that we trust with our health. And I want to thank you and the governor for coming out and clearing up. As a parent and grandparent out there, we like to know good medical health and what we should be doing to protect our families.
And where can people get more information about the guidelines, Secretary Bogan?
The guidance documents are on our website and health.pa.gov.
Thank you for the time and good luck.
Thanks, Dr. Bogan. Good luck as well.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Great information.
What a treasure she is and was, both in this county and then now at the state. Again, there's so much confusion out there. You want to turn to somebody that you can trust. She's somebody we can trust with our health.
It also helps she was a pediatrician, too, for the child-rearing years. It's so important and critical to everybody, parents and grandparents. This is the Big K Morning Show. We continue our conversation. Rich Fitzgerald in studio, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. And you've introduced us to so many people. And in, a year and a half now you've been doing this with me. And every week, Aaron and I talk about it. We learn something about what's going on in the region.
Well, we're going to continue along the health. You know, we had Secretary Bogan talking about vaccines. And the other story that kind of came out this week nationally was around Tylenol and autism. And one of the folks who's been out very public about this, State Representative Abigail Salisbury, who represents, you know, some of the eastern suburbs and eastern part of the city of Pittsburgh, and has really been out there fighting this fight. And we're so delighted that Representative Salisbury would join us today and kind of talk about some of the misinformation that's out there and some of the things she's trying to do to kind of clear that up. Representative, welcome, and tell us what you're working on.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. So basically what I'm working on is just trying to bring attention to the fact that we need to be directing research dollars into a wide array of potential causes of autism. You know, Tylenol only came on the market in the 1950s in the United States, but there were children being diagnosed with autism as early as 1911. So that tells us that there is more that we need to look at here, and I just want to make sure we weren't putting all of our eggs in one basket.
And that said, many of us who've been around for a while say, boy, we don't remember hearing about autism when we were in school. Is it more that there's such a broad spectrum, A, and then the fact that maybe we didn't know what to call it back then when children in particular were dealing with these kind of issues?
Well, you know, I'm on the autism spectrum myself. I was diagnosed as an adult with what used to be called Asperger's, but has been folded into the autism definition. So, you know, people might think, well, I didn't know anybody autistic when I was growing up. If you knew me, you knew somebody. But, you know, I think the definition is maybe more expansive than what people might be aware of. But also, you know,
a really sad part of the history of autism is that a lot of these children used to be institutionalized. And, you know, when RFK Jr., for example, talks about he didn't know anyone who had what he calls full-blown autism, I imagine he means a, you know, very severe presentation, nonverbal, et cetera. The reason that, you know, a lot of people may not have seen autistic children is that they were institutionalized and they were treated very cruelly. A lot of times we have, you know, evidence of them being tied to radiators, kept in cold areas with, you know, really no love or attention or attempted education. It's a very sad history of autism, unfortunately.
Well, Representative, first of all, the misinformation that seems to happen around, you know, medical treatment, vaccines, autism, et cetera, and the way social media is able to kind of spread some of that misinformation, the fact that you want to have these hearings across the state to kind of debunk, you know, some of the misinformation that's out there and get, you know, medical experts in front of your panel to try to talk about and really put a lot of people's mind at ease over what they can take, certainly during pregnancy and other things along those lines. So talk a little bit about what you'd like to see happen about these hearings.
Yeah, I've called on our leadership in the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania to convene expert hearings because we really, frankly, we have an embarrassment of riches on this subject in Pennsylvania. You know, we have multiple R1 research facilities that bring in NIH dollars in excess of the billions that do amazing research. Here in Pittsburgh, we have, under Western Psych, we have very talented autism researchers at UPMC and at Pitt. Really across the state, we have some of the finest people, and we have people come from out of the state and out of the country even to seek treatment in our facilities in Pennsylvania. So I would like for Pennsylvania to be at the forefront, really, you know, leading in the cutting edge of looking into the many causes of autism, as well as potential interventions that can be done from various stages of life to help people live their lives to the fullest. But, you know, we can't make good decisions as lawmakers, and you know this, you've been an elected official, we can't make good decisions if we don't have good information. So I think that it's incumbent upon us as Pennsylvania lawmakers to really use those resources that we have in Pennsylvania to learn everything that we can and then use that to make good policy.
I think you're exactly right when you say that. You know, none of us are experts in everything. So when we're trying to set policy, or in your case, trying to set laws, bringing experts to the table so that you can make informed decisions about legislation and information that's put out there is very helpful. And the fact that, again, you come at this with a very personal level with your own issues around autism, you bring a different perspective that I think is very, very important for parents and individuals and grandparents to think about for their own children.
You know, the number one thing that I want people to understand is if you have a child with autism, it is not your fault. If you have autism, it is not your fault. It is not your parents' fault. You know, it is a human condition. And what I worry about when we have people saying things at the national level, like children with autism destroy families and that sort of thing, think about what that's like for a child on the spectrum to hear. Think about what it's like for them to see a press conference at the national level where, you know, the president or the Health and Human Services Secretary or these panel of, you know, what he convened of medical professionals, for them to say things like, you know, you're destroying your family. Maybe you are a little kid whose parents got divorced. Are you going to blame yourself for that now? I just think that we have to be very careful with the way that we talk about this issue because, you know, it's has a potential to have a really terrible impact on kids who might be hearing this.
Well, Representative Salisbury, you've been really a shining example of what somebody can do, and appreciate your time this morning, and we'll look forward to getting more information here in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative, and
thanks so much
for leading.
Abigail Salisbury, Pennsylvania Rep on the Big K Morning Show.
Well, now that Disney is getting the Jimmy Kimmel controversy in the rearview mirror, there is this news.
Starting October 21st, the ad-supported Disney Plus plan will jump $2 to $11.99 a month. The ad-free version is increasing by $3 to $18.99 a month.
And fees for bundled plans with Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN are also going up.
I'm sure it's a coincidence. Yeah, while this is all being talked about, hey, we're going
to
sneak
up. Did they do the overnight ratings for last night? It had to be unbelievable.
I'm sure, yeah, a one-off on the monologue for sure.
At the UN.
And I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter, because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you, nevertheless. And that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble.
Can you imagine that poor person?
Talk about someone who can relate to the president, right?
But you can imagine, and you're pretty good on your feet, Rich, but if you imagine you had somebody up there, you're speaking to the world leaders,
right?
And the teleprompter goes out, and you're like,
what am I going to say?
Trump is able to speak.
He's never at a loss for words.
Right. Yeah, so it worked out. It worked out good.
Hey, Pirates rookie Hunter Barco talked last night about a big first. His family was there when he made his major league debut.
Yeah, I mean, when I stepped out of the bullpen, I looked around. Like, I don't know if I stopped or if I took a couple steps walking, but I looked around and I'm like, well, all right, we're here. So jogged out to the mound and first pitch, I didn't really know where it was going to go. I kind of blacked out, but just threw it. And after that, it was like, all right, it's go time playing baseball.
Remember the name Hunter Barco, and his family was there. It was a moment, and Bucks have won 3 in a row, so good for him. You'll hear that name again next season. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Rich. You're departing later tonight for the Emerald Isle.
Well, it'll feel comfortable to have you be the PA announcer when we've, you know, at the game.
Welcome
to
Croke Park Stadium.
Are you going to do it with a Yinzer accent or an Irish brogue? I guess we're going to wait to see.
We're just doing what we do at Acrisure Stadium, because the Steelers are the designated home team and playing the Minnesota Vikings. So safe travels. We'll see you in Dublin.
We're looking forward to
the city. It looks like it's going to rain for a while here. So for the rest of the morning commute in and around Pittsburgh, with that fog, hopefully that will dissipate in the next hour. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Three Rivers Waterkeeper. The executive director is Heather Van Tassel, and she joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm very well. So people know your background, environmental conservationist, passionate about creating a sustainable and equitable planet for future generations. Did I get that right?
That's right.
So tell us, what is Three Rivers Waterkeeper?
Three Rivers Waterkeeper, we're an environmental nonprofit based in Pittsburgh, PA, but serving southwestern Pennsylvania, focused on protecting the water quality of our three rivers, so the Allegheny, the Monongahela, and Ohio, and all the tributaries and land activities that impact them. We really focus on preventing pollution from entering our waterways and holding polluters accountable when we do have industrial pollution in our water.
That said, you set a national precedent recently.
Yes, we just settled a lawsuit for a Clean Water Act violations against Styropek for illegally releasing plastic pellets for, you know, most likely decades, but we documented it for over a year. We partnered with Penn Environment, and Styropek worked with us to do a pretty nationally setting precedent where we ultimately decided that the technology exists, that we can have zero pellet plastic pollution entering our waterways. And this is nationally precedent setting because the Department of Environmental Protection in Pennsylvania agreed with us that zero plastic pellet discharge is the actual limit that we have. And it's the first Clean Water Act lawsuit that has had an environmental regulator, the PADEP here, agree with the settlement. And so across the U.S., we're hoping to see other regulators agree with that and start putting that in our regulations and the permit limits as zero plastic discharges.
Doctor, on another subject, sort of related, I guess, Alcosan's plan to for storm water and runoff into the Three Rivers area. What's this, Three Rivers Waterkeeper's position on that? Are you supportive? Would you like to see modifications?
Yeah, so Three Rivers Waterkeeper would like to see zero discharges of sewage into our waterways. The Alcosan plan does not necessarily cut all discharges that are going to enter our waterways and doesn't really cover our increased precipitation that we're expected to be seeing with climate change. And so while we are in favor of making major changes to our infrastructure, because we have to do something, we have too much sewage going into our waterways. So on one side, we are in favor of making these large changes. The challenge is it doesn't address the whole problem completely, and we need to see more, and we need to get creative. Our waterways get inundated with sewage because of our topography and our combined sewage systems. So we have to slow that water down before it even gets to the pipes. And that way, the pipes can actually handle the amount of water that they're receiving, even as we increase the size of our tunnels and the capacity that we can receive.
Yeah, part of the challenge is the, you know, relatively ancient structure of a lot of these drainage systems around the region. That will take a Herculean effort over time to remediate.
Absolutely. Our system is very old, and that's why they're combined with stormwater and sewage systems instead of being separate systems, and why we see sewage overflows into our waterways. And so we do have to go it through it systematically and change these structures. And while we're doing that, simultaneously, we should be slowing water down on land, thinking about reducing the amount of concrete, increasing green infrastructure, diverting water to less inundated systems, and getting really creative so we have a holistic approach to reducing the amount of waterways entering a single pipe at one time, so that way we don't have to discharge into our rivers because we can't handle the amount of water we have.
Heather, before you go, PFAS, people hear that all the time. What is it?
Yeah, so those are what we call PFAS. They're a really lengthy chemical name that you don't need to remember. What we do is we call them forever chemicals because they're a man-made chemical that is invisible, and when it enters our environment, it doesn't break down there forever. And recent research is really showing that they're starting to disrupt a lot of our systems in our body, our health systems, and causing chronic and long-term health problems. We have been doing baseline studying across our region. Overall, a lot of our sites have really low PFAS levels, so that's fantastic to hear. But we have found a few hot spots that we're still investigating as well, such as along Montour Run. And then after we released a baseline report, we did discover extremely high levels of PFAS coming out of Calgon Corporation, a water filtration company. And so we have been working to prevent and stop PFAS from coming directly out of the discharge points, and we're appealing their permit. And all we're doing is asking them to have PFAS limits that they can put into our Ohio River, which serves as a drinking water source for nearly 5 million people.
Dr. Heather Van Tassel, who is the executive director of Three Rivers Waterkeeper, appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Josh from our newsroom in studio.
Good morning.
What's trending, T?
The rapture. Did you hear about it? We were supposed to have a rapture to September 23rd and 24th.
Oh.
So, yeah, we have one more day, but everyone's talking about it. Did we miss it? Is it coming? I mean,
What's supposed to happen? It may have happened.
Christ is coming. It was supposed to come. He's supposed to come back this
week.
Who's
saying this?
This is a pastor said that the rapture, she predicted in an interview that the rapture is related to teaching the second coming of Jesus, which will take place either Tuesday, September 23rd or Wednesday, September 24th. These days are religiously significant and coincide with the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year.
Okay. So, can we wait till after the Steeler game?
I mean, I'm excited. What are we going to do? You better do. You want to do everything you need to do.
I'm doing it.
But the only. Are you in your folder?
Uh-oh.
I have some sound in there.
Uh-oh.
The only rapture I'm concerned about is this one. Anita Baker.
She's back. No.
Yeah.
I got you.
Come on, Larry. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Get
I'm
in
here.
Tune.
I'm not Ireland, but I'm Tamira. Pleased to meet you.
Okay.
So it's trending on social media. When you go to the airport, do you expect your family to pick you up? Someone in your family to pick you up?
No, I usually pick myself up.
Oh, you're one of those.
No, I parked the car at the airport.
So it's on social media. People are saying that why should you expect a family member to pick you up from the airport? You can Uber, you can take public transportation, PRT.
Well, I will say it's much easier with Uber now than
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It ever was, but it costs money. So they want money. They want your family to blow the money on you.
Yes, but I agree. I think I would be upset if my daughter or my husband wouldn't pick me up from the airport. Like, what's wrong with you? No, I'm not Ubering back to Penn Hills.
Okay.
From the airport. So right. I mean, do we expect that? Yeah, we should expect.
What do you think about Aaron Donald? They're going to retire his jersey 97 at Pitt on Notre Dame Day in November.
Penn Hills alum.
Penn Hills.
But he's originally, his family's from Homewood. So let's keep that in mind. Penn Hills people don't just take him as yours. So he has ties and connections to Homewood.
My people are trying to forget I was born in Millville.
they don't want you, Larry.
It's like he's somewhere else.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's basically it.
Well, just for the record, when I was three, we got thrown out. So I had to move north. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about this because people were talking about this also on social media. What time is the Steelers game?
9:30 a.m. Eastern time here. You'll be able to watch the game. That's the earliest the Steelers will ever be on in Pittsburgh, at least till they play in another country.
What time?
9:30 a.m.
So we have
Do you know how many church services are going
to
be
Well, I was about to say that. So my pastor, we're going to have service on Friday. Yes. And he's going to play it on Saturday because he has Saturday service and Sunday service. So this is why.
It's a disruptor.
Well, in service on Sunday, when they were explaining what was taking place, that we were going to be present on Friday, I didn't know. It didn't come to me. I'm not saying that's the reason, but that's how things are going. So Friday we're going to have.
Well, that would explain why the rapture is happening before.
So the rapture. So Larry. Yeah.
So 9:30 on Sunday morning, it's on WTAE TV.
Okay.
They're going to pick up the local game. They got Andrew Stocky over there this week. People are heading to our. There'll be tens of thousands of Steeler fans are going to be there.
I see people are already posting that they're at the airport, at the pub. They got merchandise, in the club. Yeah, in the club.
Irish club.
In the club.
I don't know what to expect. I'm going to go to Dublin and explore.
Listen, let your hair down.
I'm doing the show.
Let your hair down.
Okay. I'm going to
have some fun.
Friday.
Make it interesting and make people listening want to go to Ireland.
Or
so
take them
with
me.
Step your game up a little bit.
My mantra is to make it feel like you're with us because we're doing the whole show Friday.
Right.
From Dublin.
Right. That's going to be interesting. You've talked to me about Disney. You've taken me to Disney. We went on a cruise together.
Yeah, back
when. Why wouldn't you ask me to go to Ireland with you?
They launched the Disney ships.
I'm here, Larry.
Okay.
Hi.
You want to go to Ireland?
I would love to go to Ireland.
All right, we'll have to talk after the show.
Here we go. Now you're not looking at me. I want you to look.
In case the rapture
is
coming.
Look me in my eyes.
What else is going on?
That's all, Larry. That's all I have.
What do you know about Ireland?
Nothing. I know the colors.
When I say Ireland, okay, I got a green official terrible
green
towel.
Official that's very nice. I'm not a Steelers fan, so.
What?
I'm not. My husband is a diehard, so that's an issue.
Well, you don't like football?
I love football.
Who do you root for, then?
Baltimore.
What?
I know. Isn't that? I've fell in love with them.
Really? That's interesting, because you're a native Pittsburgher.
I am born and raised, but I fell in love with Baltimore Ravens. I love
what?
Tony Siragusa. I like way back.
Crazy.
I love Tony. I don't know. I have my reasons for why I'm not a current Steelers fan.
Okay.
So there I'll you keep go. That to myself. Bye.
That's T trending. If the rapture doesn't happen, we'll be here Friday from Dublin. 5:30 until 10, which is 10:30 until 3 Ireland time. Drive at 5, top stories driving the day's news. Weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. Joining me is State Senator Nick Piscitano. Welcome back, Senator.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So today I want to talk about a bill that you have proposed that would increase access to vaccines. As you know, just you bring up the word vaccine and people's eyes cross because there's so much misdirection, misinformation, and just a gray area. So let's start with what is your plan?
Yeah, Larry, and I'm, as a member of state government, I try not to get involved in federal issues. Just try and stay in my lane and do the job that I was elected to do in Harrisburg. But unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of chaos come out of bureaucracy, honestly, in Washington, D.C. And just in the last week or so, we've seen a lot of chaos from the CDC and their Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, which sets national standards for vaccine access. And in states like Pennsylvania, decisions made in Washington, D.C. Ultimately trickle down to Pennsylvanians because it's what our insurance companies will cover, is largely based on what those practices are decided on at the federal level. And after a chaotic meeting of the ACIP last week, there was a ton of confusion on what was going to be covered and what was recommended and what was going to be available. And we were concerned that confusion would then ultimately mean that certain vaccines that are routine and have been around for a long time would no longer be covered by insurance plans here in Pennsylvania. And so partnering with my colleague in the Senate, Maria Collette, who previously worked as a registered nurse, and a couple of my colleagues in the State House, Representative Arva Venkat, who works as an ER doctor, representatives Bridget Kozorowski and Tara Kahn, who worked as registered nurses, we all kind of came together to figure out a way to make sure that these insurance companies were still going to cover common vaccines here in Pennsylvania, and that those things weren't going to go from being free at the point of service to costing hundreds of dollars to the people who needed them. Governor Shapiro also took steps to make sure that those vaccines continue to be accessible and affordable for every Pennsylvanian. And so we're really just responding to a lot of the chaos that's coming out of Washington, D.C. around this issue.
So you get a lot of questions, no doubt. So in terms of recommendations, it's important because to your point, the people that may need vaccines the most, if there are charges for them, may be challenging for them to get it, even if they really want it.
Correct. And we're not trying to change anybody's mind on whether or not they're going to get a vaccine or not. We're not mandating anything. We're making sure that these longstanding vaccines are available and affordable for everyone who wants them and needs them. And the fact of the matter is, in our healthcare system, preventative medicine like vaccines are much more cost effective than reacting to someone who gets sick and has to go to the emergency room or has to be hospitalized, right? A free vaccine at a local pharmacy is both better for public health and better for the bottom line of our healthcare system and our consumers than it is to not get vaccinated and potentially get very seriously ill. And so we are looking at this in a number of different ways to make sure that those people who need and want these vaccines can access them as affordable as possible.
How long do you think this will take, Senator?
Well, the good news is the governor has already stepped in and preserved a lot of these changes. What we're doing with the legislation is making sure that that continues long term. And so there's no immediate disruption to the status quo because of Governor Shapiro's actions, which I commend him for. But we also want to do this legislatively and make sure that these new guidelines are in place so that access to vaccines in Pennsylvania are not disrupted in the future by any bureaucratic hurdles that are thrown up in Washington, D.C.
Understood. Now, that said, while I have you, how are we doing on the budget?
I think the last time I was on the show, I was a little bit more optimistic. I think we're making slow but steady progress. There are still wide areas of disagreements, but I think everybody in Harrisburg recognizes that we need to get something done as soon as possible because counties and school districts and other entities that rely on state funding are starting to hit the wall on what they're able to float without a state budget. So, in September, that will be 3 full months past due, and that is when we start to really see problems in the entities that require state funding. So hopefully in early October, we can get it done.
All right, we're all counting on you. Representing the 45th District, State Senator Nick Piscitano. Thanks for the time, Senator. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
We will have the details on those stories at 9. Now that Disney is getting ABC's Jimmy Kimmel controversy in the rearview mirror, there is this news.
Starting October 21st, the ad-supported Disney Plus plan will jump $2 to $11.99 a month. The ad-free version is increasing by $3 to $18.99 a month.
And fees, Larry, for bundled plans with Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN are also going up.
Isn't that coincidental? Or is it?
And at the UN.
And I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter, because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you, nevertheless. And that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble.
There perhaps isn't anyone on earth more prepared to speak extemporaneously, but imagine you're in front of the world leaders. They're waiting for what you have to say, and the teleprompter goes out.
Interesting timing on that. Pirates rookie Hunter Barco talked last night, Larry, about making his major league debut in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, when I stepped out of the bullpen, I looked around. Like, I don't know if I stopped or if I took a couple steps walking, but I looked around and I'm like, whoa, all right, we're here. So jogged out to the mound and first pitch, I didn't really know where it was going to go. I kind of blacked out, but just threw it. And after that, it was like, all right, it's go time playing baseball.
Pretty exciting for this young man. Remember that name, Hunter Barco, for next season.
Yeah, the number 4 prospect in the Pirates system. They brought him up to see what he's got, and he had a good first outing.
And tonight, preseason game 2 for the Pens. They're in Columbus, but the big game is Marc-Andre Fleury will play 1 period on Saturday, where he will officially then be able to retire as a Pittsburgh Penguin.
I'm guessing we're having a sellout, right?
Oh, yeah. People are fired up for this one. They are paying outrageous money for preseason games in hockey, are usually a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Steelers getting ready to go to Dublin, Ireland. They're leaving tomorrow after practice.
And you're leaving not too long from now, right?
Yes, as soon as possible. Getting there it's a journey, but it'll be well worth it.
One little sidebar on that, as long as we're talking about it. The reporters that I follow on my social media feed who are already in Dublin, I got a question for you. Why are all their pictures coming back from bars?
You know what? You make an excellent point. Is that the only place that's open? I will give you a more broad sense of what's going on over there.
It's the Pub Watch with Larry Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Wall Street reversed the recent days of gains with red across the board Tuesday. The Dow dropped 88 points. The Nasdaq lost 215. S&P slipped 36 points. Eli Lilly is making a major investment in Texas in an effort to boost domestic drug manufacturing. The $6.5 billion facility in Houston is slated to make a variety of pharmaceutical ingredients, including a new oral weight loss drug. It's the second of four new sites the drug maker is announcing this year and will bring 625 high-wage jobs to the area, in addition to 4,000 construction workers. Disney Plus is pushing prices higher. Starting next month, subscriptions will increase $2 to $3 a month, depending on the tier and whether they include Hulu or HBO Max. The announcement comes in the wake of a recent rash of account cancellations following Jimmy Kimmel's suspension over his comments about the death of conservative influencer Charlie Kirk. NFL Plus plans will stay the same price. And there's a new top-selling beer on tap. Consumer data company Circana lists Michelob Ultra as the number one brew in the U.S. for the past 52 weeks. Michelob Ultra maker Anheuser-Busch credits its investment in sporting events like sponsoring the USA Olympic team for its recent growth. That's your CBS Money Watch report for this Wednesday morning. I'm Jesse Mitchell, CBS News, New York.
Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. We will continue to keep you updated. Two breaking news stories. One locally has the attention of our news department.
Yes, it does, Larry. Tamira Rush making her way over to Carrick High School this morning, reportedly on lockdown after two students stabbed. Perhaps police have one person in custody. We're trying to nail down the details there. And then in Dallas, Texas, a shooting. Three people critically wounded at an ICE facility, Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in the Dallas area. And we'll have the latest on that as well coming up at 9:30.
Yeah, there's a six-lane highway that goes by that region that's shut down.
Yeah, the location of this ICE facility is right near I-35. If you're familiar with Dallas, you know that that is six lanes of traffic going in each direction. And they've got one side of I-35 shut down. So you can only imagine what the exiting traffic must be like getting into the off-ramp, which is not nearly six lanes.
Thank you, Paul. And last night, probably, and I'm curious if they have overnight numbers yet. It's a little skewed because you had a number of stations not air Jimmy Kimmel's show on ABC.
Yeah, that's right, Larry. The Nexstar stations and the Sinclair stations that are ABC affiliates represent about 24% of ABC's audience reach for the network itself. So those stations will be out of the mix. On the other hand, the stations that were carrying it, I would imagine that there was a fair amount of interest, even though they may not be, viewers may not have been regular, regulars of Kimmel's, people tuning in just to see what it was all about.
Yeah, he spoke in his monologue for about 10 minutes, but I pulled about a quarter of that, just kind of the money shot. And this is from the very beginning. And I took some of the long applauses out for obvious reasons, but I want to let you know, obviously, it's audience-friendly environment, and here's what Jimmy Kimmel had to say on ABC last night.
Thank you. Anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted, if you're just joining us, we are preempting your regularly scheduled encore episode of Celebrity Family Feud to bring you this special report. I'm happy to be here tonight with you. Please be seated. I'm not sure who had a weirder 48 hours, me or the CEO of Tylenol. It's been overwhelming. I've heard from a lot of people over the last 6 days. I've heard from all the people in the world over the last 6 days. Everyone I have ever met has reached out 10 or 11 times. Weird characters from my past. The guy who fired me from my first radio job in Seattle, where we are not airing tonight, by the way. Sorry, Seattle. His name is Larry. In 1989, Larry tried to force me to do a bit called Jokes for Donuts, where people would call in with a joke and I would give them donuts. I refused to do it, and then I made a lot of fun of Larry for suggesting it. And eventually, Larry fired me, and I had to move back in with my parents. But even he wrote in to cheer me up. Thank you, Larry, and I want to thank everyone who checked in. It would take all week to list all of them, but some that I do especially want to mention are my fellow late-night talk show hosts, my friend Stephen Colbert, who's found himself in this predicament. My friends John Stewart, Seth Meyers, Jimmy Fallon, John Oliver, Tony O'Brien, James Corden, Arsenio, Kathy, Wanda, Chelsea, even Jay reached out. I heard from late night hosts in other countries, from Ireland and from Germany. The guy in Germany offered me a job. Can you imagine? This country has become so authoritarian, the Germans are like, come here. Come loose. My boyhood idols, Howard Stern and David Letterman, were very considerate and kind. And I feel honored to be part of a group of people that knows what goes into doing a show like this. And I also want to thank all of you who supported our show, cared enough to do something about it, to make your voices heard so that mine can be heard. I will never forget it. And maybe, really, maybe most of all, I want to thank the people who don't support my show and what I believe, but support my right to share those beliefs anyway.
And he went on to, as you've shared with us all morning, you know, apologize in the sense that he gave Erica Kirk a lot of credit for her grace in the face of the negativity. And then after that, didn't really apologize for what he said. He said it was...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Misunderstood, but he,
yeah, it's pretty clear what he said. It's not hard to understand what Jimmy said, but I understand how he feels, you know, under attack. And by the way, the comments that we haven't heard, and perhaps it's better that we don't, are the feedback to President Donald Trump, because it has gotten very personal between both of them, nasty even.
Yeah, and the president said he's considering suing ABC for illegal partisanship.
You know, I mean, I don't know how that works. I've been in broadcasting for a very long time, and
there are a lot of shows that yeah, could be under that.
I mean, you could point that, yeah, you could point that weapon just about any direction. I don't know how far that would go, but I do know this, Larry, that I think I'm speaking for a large number of people who are glad to have this thing behind us. Hopefully, right?
Hopefully. Want to reach out? Danasco Roofing Instant Access, a click away. Email us at instantaccess@kdkaradio.com. Every Thursday at this time, we check in with Christy Graver, it's Wednesday. That's right. That's tomorrow. I forgot about that.
You're a day ahead.
You know what? I am. I'm 5 hours ahead of myself.
That's all right.
You know what? That's amazing.
You're going to be in Ireland.
Yeah, so the journey goes to, for me, and there are almost 170 people in a AAA group. Then the Steelers are taking their families. Obviously, the players are going after practice tomorrow, as they normally would. And then there's the families, and then there's partners of the Steelers. Then there's this AAA group that's, I think, 170 people.
I'm curious, Larry, will the families fly with the players, or will that be a separate trip?
Yes, they'll fly separately. They'll try to keep it as business-like, as Coach Tomlin said, as they can. They went through this process talking to experts about sleep patterns and, you know, staying hydrated, that kind of stuff. Yesterday he had his weekly press conference, and he's talking about, you know, everything they're doing. They appreciate the opportunity, but they want to focus on the business at hand, as to get a win in the National Football League against a pretty good Minnesota Viking team.
For everybody else, it's a great trip and a vacation wrapped up in one. But for the team, it's work, 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 right?
Yes, and here's what he said yesterday about it.
The physical work on this side of the trip is important for us. We're doing some things to acclimate ourselves to the trip. We're working early this week to start the body clock transition process. We certainly have some best practices in terms of acclimating ourselves once we begin the journey at the latter part of the week. But nothing unique there. A lot of organizations have been traveling internationally now for a number of years.
He summed it up really good. Body clock adjustments.
Which the average person is not thinking about. So I like that he kind of gave us an insight.
Except for me, somehow I lost a day.
I mean, you remember what it's like to fly to Europe, Larry. I mean, when I did it, we got off the plane in Amsterdam, and it took me a day and a half to figure out, you know, body-wise where I was and get into a normal pattern.
Well, it's a whirlwind because we land around 9 a.m. tomorrow, and then... Do you stay up? Do you try to go to sleep?
Right.
Is the hotel room going to be ready? Because usually they're not till later in the afternoon, and with the influx in demand, they're going to be as busy as they've ever been.
Sounds like you're on a red eye then over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then can you sleep on the plane?
I have trouble doing that, even as comfortable as I can make myself. I can't do it.
Aaron, do you ever take a red eye?
I went through a phase where those neck pillows actually worked for me. And I mean, I would get on the plane, plop my head a little to the side on that cushion and go right to sleep. Now, it's not that I can't go to sleep, but staying asleep. Like I might fall asleep for 15 minutes and then I wake up.
Yep,
plus
that's it.
Let's be honest. You look a little goofy with that neck thing around.
You know? You do.
People are walking around, you're slobbering.
Now, with this job, I haven't tried it with this job. I'm sure I would sleep like a baby, maybe.
You would think with all that white noise, right, with the air rushing over the fuselage, that you'd be able to just go right away. But and I know people who can sleep soundly on planes, but I'm not one of them.
Yeah. What about you, Larry?
Yeah, I can, you know, because of this crazy schedule I have
had
for a long time. Yeah, you cherish the moments you get that you can just nod off.
Yes.
Hopefully it's not in traffic while you're driving.
Right.
You know, maybe you can stay up if you can nap a little bit. Maybe you can stay up through the day and then crash early that night. You know, what would that be, tomorrow night?
Yeah, and there's a, you know, agenda for fun things to do. You can opt in and out of a bunch of them. But obviously I have the show to do Friday, which will be 10:30 to 3 p.m. local time for the morning show here. And so I got scout locations tomorrow, and then there'll be a kind of a run through on Saturday for the game for the scoreboard team, and then doing the game.
So you're telling me that you have yet to select a spot to do the show from?
That is correct.
Oh boy!
So that's what I'm going to do. Is
what are you thinking? I mean, what kind of a venue do you want to work from?
Wherever there are Steelers fans, which is going to be everywhere, so it shouldn't be hard to
find. No, it should be pretty easy.
And it could be even, you know, in the hotel lobby or something like that.
True.
I didn't want to commit until I got to scout it out because I didn't want to get there and say, oh, I should have done this. So I'll Uber around Dublin and
find locations.
Can I do my radio show here? Meanwhile, Coach Tomlin did say this is special.
Certainly getting an opportunity to play internationally is a big honor. Something that I've been a part of a couple of times. It doesn't get old, man, to represent our game of American football on the international stage, man, is a really cool thing. I'm so excited about being a component of that. But as we sit here today, it's more about the preparation that tees up performance. And that's really what has our attention.
That's it. Business trip.
Love
kind
it.
Of a business trip for me, too.
For sure.
But
a big one.
I'm not the reason they'll win or lose. And I hope they win.
Well, here's hoping that you find a very cozy spot next to a little fireplace, you know, like a nice atmosphere filled with all kinds of people enjoying themselves and plenty of people to interview and have a good time.
Yes.
You know, the last time I remember you doing something like this, and I'm sure you've done more than that, but the one that stands out for me is when you and John went down to Tampa.
Yeah, we did a whole week.
That was really, really a good week.
We had fun. So we'll try to bring you the flavor of what's going on, and that'll be Friday again on the BK Morning Show. Looking forward to it. 925 at KDK. By the way, we're going to talk to the Honorary Counsel for Ireland here. Jim Lamb is there already. He's also the head of the Ireland Fund. See what is going on. Right, and Marty Griffin, 10 until 2. We'll check in with Marty. But right now, we want to go all the way to Ireland. Jim Lamb, who's certainly well-known here, Executive Director of the Ireland Institute and Honorary Consul of Ireland for Western Pennsylvania. Jim, good afternoon in your case.
It is afternoon here, Larry. It's a beautiful day here. You wouldn't think we're fellow travelers can't believe that we're in Ireland because they haven't seen one drop of rain in the past 3 days.
That said, what is the atmosphere like? The entire country has to know we're coming, and like yourself, many have already arrived.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, Larry, I only touched down in Dublin to land in the airport back on Sunday in the airport, and then straight north into some other business that I'm a part of here in other parts of Ireland. I have not been into the town of Dublin yet, but I can tell you that a Minnesota crowd was very obvious and present at the airport when I was landing. So they're coming to play. So we better get ready for them.
And that said, Jim, you have taken this journey many times. Share with us the context that Pittsburgh businesses and otherwise shares with Ireland.
Yeah, it's a lovely history that we've been able to be a part of. It really started with the former president and chairman of the Steelers and former ambassador, the late Dan Rooney, whose people come from the town of Newry, where I just left. Had some great meetings with companies in that city. And for the past 30 years, I've been working with the Ireland Institute of Pittsburgh, which was founded thanks to a generous donation from Mr. Rooney, as well as Anthony O'Reilly, the late Anthony O'Reilly, of the Heinz Corporation way back in 1989. And over that time, I've been a part of helping young people from Ireland's troubled history come to Pittsburgh to engage with each other and with an American diverse culture that is Pittsburgh, to learn about themselves, to learn about each other, and to learn about the wider world. And that's the underpinning as to everything that we do to help make the connections between Pittsburgh and Ireland real. This particular journey that we're on today is a part of a long-lasting relationship between Pittsburgh and Ireland in terms of business. So we're helping companies, and we've been doing it for 30 years or more, helping companies connect and helping organizations connect to the betterment of each other and to expand their businesses, whether it's Ireland into the U.S. or Pittsburgh into Europe. And we see Ireland and Western Pennsylvania as two important gateways to that kind of activity.
Yeah, this kind of attention that Pittsburgh and the Steelers are getting, obviously, is national and international news. That all helps, you know, create an even stronger bridge and bond, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And the attention here in Ireland to this game, everyone's talking about it. The people we've run into are all Steeler fans, of course, and we're looking forward to what's going to be a great game, but a great weekend, of activity that the Steelers have planned and the NFL has planned, and we're just happy to be part of that activity. But prior to that, we're here to do business, and we have companies that are looking to connect to grow their business, and that's kind of the activity that I'm undertaking over these next couple of days.
Well, we appreciate you spending a little time with us here. Enjoy yourself, and I assume you're going to the game, right?
Absolutely. I'll be down at the game. As I mentioned, I just left the town of Newry. I was in Dundalk yesterday, which is another town right along the Dublin-Belfast corridor. I'm on my way to Belfast right now. with a couple of other members of the delegation, and we have a few things to do there this evening and tomorrow morning. But we'll be in Saturday and then absolutely go into the game on Sunday and hopefully bring home a winner.
All right. Well, safe travels, and maybe I'll see you there. Thanks, Jim.
Oh, thanks, Larry. See you there. Bye now.
You got it. Jim Lamb, who is actually the executive director of the Ireland Institute and honorary consul for Ireland, Western Pennsylvania. And so he's about as closely connected as anybody I know.
I love that he's there. It's afternoon where he's at and that he's on the move.
He is on the move. And coming up, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin, see what he's working on the Big K Morning Show.
Latest information on the stabbings at Carrick High School. As you mentioned, not two, but now three students. We have updates on their injuries and conditions coming and new information about the shootings this morning at the ICE facility in Dallas. Now, Disney is getting ABC's Jimmy Kimmel controversy in the rearview mirror, and at the same time, this news emerges.
Starting October 21st, the ad-supported Disney Plus plan will jump $2 to $11.99 a month. The ad-free version is increasing by $3 to $18.99 a month.
And for the bundled plans with Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN, those are going up too.
Coincidence? Maybe, but they had reported a number of people, I don't know how many, had canceled their streaming subscriptions related to ABC, Disney, ESPN, Hulu.
Yeah, the wheels were probably already in motion, but the timing is, wow, right? At the UN.
And I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter, because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you, nevertheless. And that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble.
And as of this moment, we don't know who it is. And I'm sure it will be made public because he had an escalator issue, too.
Well, there you go. It stopped just as he and the First Lady were getting on board to go upstairs at the UN yesterday. Pirates rookie Hunter Barco. The number four pitching prospect, in fact, the number four prospect overall for the Pirates. Well, he talked last night about making his major league debut. This was after the game.
Yeah, I mean, when I stepped out of the bullpen, I looked around. Like, I don't know if I stopped or if I took a couple steps walking, but I looked around and I'm like, whoa, all right, we're here. So jogged out to the mound and first pitch, I didn't really know where it was going to go. I kind of blacked out, but just threw it. And after that, it was like, all right, it's go time, I'm playing baseball.
Well, there you go. You're going to remember that name, Hunter Barco, as the Pirates get ready to close out the season. And Pens play tonight, by the way, in Columbus, game two of the preseason. But a lot of fans looking forward to Saturday night when Marc-Andre Fleury returns to play a period in goal, and then he'll be able to retire in the black and gold.
And you mentioned that ticket prices for this game, which is being played at PPG Paints Arena, are what?
Crazy numbers. The most ever in the history of a preseason game in Pittsburgh, I can tell you that. All right, Paul, thanks. We'll check in with
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.